I won't be here when Armageddon breaks out. Amen. And I want you to know I'm not special. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, those of us who are members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, we cannot go through Armageddon, because Armageddon is in the tribulation, and you and I, as members of the body of Christ, and I'll say more about that later on, we are not going to go through the tribulation period. Amen.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In his message last week, Pastor Brian Grant showed how the return of Christ from glory is a certainty, it will be world-changing, and it could happen at any moment. In this week's message, Pastor Grant looks at the tribulation and examines its purpose in God's unchanging plan of the ages. Turn now to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 24 as Pastor Grant begins his message, What is the Tribulation? Pastor Grant.
Two elderly ladies were driving in a car, and it was one of these big cars. It was so big they could hardly see over the dashboard. And as they were cruising along, they came to an intersection, and the stoplight was on red, but although the stoplight was on red, they just went straight on through. And the woman in the passenger seat, she said to herself, I was sure that was a red light, but probably I'm losing it. So they came to a second red light, they went on through again. She says, oh my goodness, I must be really losing it. I'm going to really try and pay special attention the next time. In a couple of minutes, they came to the third red light. They went on through again. So the lady in the passenger seat, she turned to the other lady and she said, Mildred, did you know you just ran through three red lights? You may be getting us killed. Mildred turned to her and said, oh my, am I really the one driving? You know, our world is in so much trouble that sometimes people wonder, is anyone really driving? You know, the front of the bulletin cover, it has a picture that displays so many things going on. There are wars, there are famine, there are epidemics, there are earthquakes, there's terrorism. And it's almost as if every time you watch the news gets from bad to worse. I mean, just a few days ago, President Obama announced a new American action that is going to take place in the Middle East, as we try to deal with this group ISIS. And you know that this ISIS is just one of the Islamic groups that are determined to get rid of our way of life and determined to eliminate Israel from the face of the earth. Now, I wonder if you realize that the Bible talks about this anti-Israel sentiment. And the Bible indicates to us, young people and older ones, the Bible indicates to us that this anti-Israel momentum is going to pick up steam. Now, just recently my wife and I were traveling overseas, and it was obvious that the European nations have already started backing away from Israel. They're backing away from Israel big time. In fact, one of the British members of parliament made a speech in parliament, and he said he declared his constituency a Jewish free zone. He said, we don't want Jewish products in our constituency. We don't want Jewish stores. We don't want Jewish consultants in our universities. We don't want Jewish investors. And he said, and we certainly don't want Jewish tourists visiting our city. It's interesting they say that about Jews. They don't say that about the other folks who may kill you. Nobody's saying it's a Muslim-free zone, interestingly enough. But somehow there's a strong anti-Israel sentiment. And I want you to know, my friend, no matter how bad things may seem, no matter how things may seem out of control, I want you to know that God is still in control. And I want you to know that God has a plan. And nothing can thwart God's plan. And last week we started showing you some of what God has said in His Word, part of His plan. And today and in the next couple of weeks, we want to show you, because one of the things God is telling us is that this anti-Israel sentiment is going to culminate. Boy, I'm going to have to get up sooner or later. But this anti-Israel sentiment is going to culminate in a major war in which most of the world will gather to fight against Israel. You read about that in Revelation 16, 16. But listen, when we were in Israel, we were actually there at this valley of Megiddo, where the Bible tells us that there's going to be this great battle of Armageddon. When all the nations, most of the nations of the world, are going to come around Israel to try and squeeze them and choke them and to remove them from the face of the earth. Remember now, it was Iran who had a Ayatollah not too long ago, a president, who said he wants them totally annihilated, wiped off. And this is the sentiment, and this is actually going to be the objective of the nations of the world as we move on forward. But listen, some people are wondering if this battle of Armageddon, if what we're seeing is the beginning of Armageddon. And I just want to say to you, my friend, if you're one of those and you're here and you're a Christian and you hear about Armageddon and you're wondering, is this the beginning of Armageddon, what we are seeing? I just want you to know that this cannot be Armageddon, because I won't be here when Armageddon breaks out. Amen. And I want you to know, I'm not special. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, those of us who are members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, we cannot go through Armageddon, because Armageddon is in the tribulation, and you and I, as members of the body of Christ, and I'll say more about that later on, we are not going to go through the tribulation period. Amen. But in Matthew 24, we started there last week. And in Matthew 24, the disciples came to Jesus, you remember, with three key questions. And last week, we dealt with the first question, the prophecy that had to do with the destruction of the temple. And it was amazing for us to see how the prophecy that Jesus gave came through in such minute detail. By the way, folks, this week it was a special treat. Brother John Watts, he actually and his wife Pat, they went to one of these places where the Jews had fled to. Remember I told you how they fled during that break in the war? And so they actually went to one of those places, and you should have seen all the pictures from the church and things that were built in these rocks in some of these cities where the Christians ran to during that break in the war. Listen. What did we say last week? If Jesus said it, bank on it. Amen? If Jesus said it, bank on it. Today I want to pick up, though, where we left off. And I want to deal with the second question. And the second question had to do with what is the sign of your coming? The disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, what is the sign of your coming? And Jesus responded by describing some events that will happen before His coming. He gave them some signs, some things that would happen before He came. And these signs describe what is called as known as the tribulation period. And so before next week we'll actually talk about His actual return. But this morning we need to talk about some of the things that happen just before He returns, because this is very important. Now, can I be honest with you? This is some great, exciting stuff. But we're going to do an old-fashioned Bible study this morning. Is that all right with you? So get your Bibles ready. We're going to do an old-fashioned Bible study. We're going to be looking at a few scriptures. I have one or two on the board, but some of them is very important that you follow on. And I'm hoping to cover the material in time. But if I don't, we'll stop and we'll pick up next week. So what is the tribulation? What is the tribulation? You've heard about the tribulation. What is it? It's a period of 7 years following the rapture when God's judgment will be poured out on the earth. The tribulation is a 7-year period, and it follows the rapture. Now, the Bible does not say specifically whether the tribulation begins the day after the rapture. But it could be, but it need not be. But what the Bible is clear is that the tribulation is a 7-year period that follows the rapture. And it makes it clear it's a period when God's judgment is going to be poured out on the earth. And it's apparent that the period is divided into 2 3.5-year periods. The first 3.5 years, the Bible calls the tribulation. And if you look in your Bible, for example, this will help you. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8 tells us there. Let me read from verse number 7. It says, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." And it says, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." So there's a 3.5-year period. Matthew calls it the beginning of sorrows. Other passages just refer to it as the tribulation. And it's interesting that it talks about famines and all these things that we see happening today. But you and I need to realize that what we're seeing today, as bad as things are today, they're nothing compared to what things are going to be like during this tribulation period. This is nothing compared to what it's going to be like. But then there's a second 3.5-year period, which is referred to in the Bible as the Great Tribulation. So there's a 3.5-year tribulation period and another 3.5 years that the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. Look at verse 21, for example, of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. "For then there will be" what? "Great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of time of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened," the Bible says, "no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." There is a period of great tribulation. So what's the purpose? What is the purpose? There's going to be tribulation. What is the purpose? There are two main purposes that God has for the tribulation. The first purpose is to bring Israel to their Messiah. Now, it's interesting that you and I know that in our generation, the Jews, by and large, have they received the Messiah or have they rejected him? The Jews have rejected their Messiah. But in the tribulation period, there is going to be the conversion of a multitude of Jews. How is God going to do this? Look there at verse 14 of Revelation 24, of Matthew 24. Verse 14 says, "And this" what? "Gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come." The gospel of the kingdom. Is the gospel of the kingdom the same as the gospel today? You know, sometimes many of us as Christians don't realize there is a difference between what the Bible calls the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel we preach today. You see, the gospel of the kingdom, the emphasis is to prepare people for a kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to set up on earth. Now, you might not have realized that Jesus is going to set up a kingdom on earth. And sometimes you hear us talking about the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign, millennial meaning 1,000. Jesus is going to set up a physical kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And the gospel of the kingdom, because he's going to reign as king, the gospel of the kingdom is to prepare people to enter this kingdom on earth. So let me ask you, what kingdom are you getting prepared for? Is it the kingdom on earth? We've got a better kingdom. Amen? And so notice, the gospel of the kingdom, here's what the gospel of the kingdom says. "Repent and receive the Messiah, then you will enter his kingdom when it is set up on earth." Okay? "Repent and receive the Messiah, you will enter his kingdom on earth, you will share in his millennial reign." But the gospel of grace says, "Repent and receive Christ as" what? "Savior." Amen? "Then you'll be taken to meet him and be with him forever." two totally different objectives. So the gospel of the kingdom is talking about a kingdom on earth, and the gospel of grace is talking about a kingdom in heaven where we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Now, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, I hope I haven't lost you yet. Have I lost you yet? You're still with me? In Revelation 7, 4, it talks about 144,000 people. And the Bible tells us that God is going to seal, or he's going to specially prepare 144,000 messengers, and they're going to go around the world spreading this gospel of the kingdom. Now, there's a group, I don't know if they've ever been to your house, but there's a group who goes around from door to door talking about the 144,000. Have any of them ever visited your house? They come around and they talk about the 144,000, and they'll tell you, listen, you might not know this, but they say that 144,000 is the total number of people who can go to heaven. Did you know that? When we were boys, we had a neighbor who was one of the witnesses, and when we were boys, in case you didn't know who it was I'm talking about, when we were boys, this neighbor, he used to come over and he would try to help us get one of the seats that were available. How many seats are in heaven? You see, back then when I was a boy, the Jehovah's Witnesses only had about 100,000 members. They only had 100,000 members, so there were still seats available, okay? But you see, today, did you know that if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness today, he's going to tell you that there are no seats left? Did you know that? Heaven is full. The 140, there are now 7 million Jehovah's Witnesses in the world. So heaven has long been full. And so what the Jehovah's Witnesses are working for today, they're trying to inhabit the new earth. They don't want to be annihilated, because what they say is that anybody who does not become one, a witness, at the judgment day, the world is going to be burned up and you're going to be annihilated. And only if you become one will you go to this, you'll be able to go to the new earth. But I got good news! There is space in heaven. Listen, there is still room in heaven. I don't care what they say. My Bible tells me that until Jesus comes, there's still room in heaven. Amen. And I want you to know, my friend, young person, what a shame it would be if Jesus came and your mommy or your daddy went to heaven and you didn't. What a shame it would be, adult, if your child went to heaven and you didn't. And I want you to know, there is still room in heaven today. And oh, we are trusting God that today some adult, some young person will say yes to Jesus, will open their heart to Jesus. And I guarantee you, if you say yes to Jesus, he will write your name in his book and he will reserve a seat in heaven for you. Isn't that good news?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ, who through the power given at Pentecost changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
How in the world, if there's still seats left, that they don't even know that? Well, turn to Revelation chapter 7. Is that all right with you, Revelation chapter 7? It's easy to find as the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 7. Let's just read verse number 4. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Somebody stop a second. Could somebody tell me, this is interactive, you can shout at me. Can somebody tell me what was the nationality of these 144,000? Does your Bible say that? It's Jews. It's 144,000 Jews. It's not 100. I know they are called JWs, but there's an E missing from JW to become a Jew. Okay, you got what I'm saying. So the 144,000 has nothing to do with us. The Bible saying the 144,000 are Jewish people whom God has sealed, and He has sealed them for a purpose. The purpose for which God has sealed or specially prepared these 144,000 is to go to spread this gospel of the kingdom. And when is it happening? It's happening during the great tribulation. So during this period of tribulation, the Bible tells us that God is going to be reaching His people. Remember now, God has promises that He has made to His Jewish people, and He will fulfill them. You see, the promises of God are yea and amen. God always keeps His promises. And sometimes it's through tough times and tough circumstances, but He will keep them. And so God specially prepares these people to spread this gospel of the kingdom. Listen, the kingdom of God is at hand. But look at the results of this. Look at what happens here in Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9. After these things, you can read some of this on your own. I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches and in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And jump with me to verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? Amen. Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? Now I want you to know, this is not us. The people in white robes is not us. The people in white robes are those who responded to the message that was preached by these 144,000 who have been sealed. And look what it says here at verse number 14. And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of what? The great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And listen, there is no salvation other. Listen, the method of salvation is still the same. Jesus is always the same. Whether it's the gospel of the kingdom or the gospel of the grace of God, the center, the focus of the message is the Lamb of God. So there are people from every nation who are going to get saved during this tribulation because of this preaching of the 144,000. Now I'm going to have to touch on that before we end our service today. But the second purpose, number one purpose, as we said then, what is the purpose of the great tribulation? Number one, to prepare these Jews, to bring Israel to their Messiah. And secondly, to pour out God's judgment on the unbelievers. Here's a powerful verse of scripture. Isaiah chapter 26, I'm going to put it up on the board. Isaiah 26 verse 20 to 21. And here it says, go home, my people, and lock your doors. Hide yourselves for a little while until the Lord's anger has passed. Look, the Lord is coming from heaven to punish the people of the earth for their sins. Oh, I tell you, there were a number of other scriptures I wanted to share with you, but I thought I would just share one. I want you to know, my friend, that the tribulation, part of the reason for the tribulation, is that God is going to pour out His judgment on the unbelieving people and nations. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we move along. And there's somehow I run into people who have this mindset that God will never punish anybody because God is a God of love.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.